For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, to which you should subscribe, including so that we can stay in touch if we get deplatformed, and also a howdy to the viewers in Toronto, where I'm from, who've made it number 8 on our list of all-time views by city. And then we turn to a man who seems to be from nowhere, international man of green finance Mark Carney. With Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau making a long and graceless exit, his party has turned to former Canadian and British central banker Mark Carney, he of Canadian, British, and Irish citizenship, Davos man and much more, as the likely insider-outsider replacement. But apparently we're not supposed to call him Carbon Tax Carney, as his Conservative opponents are doing. Heck no. He's dead set against carbon taxes now. Maybe. It's hard to tell. Depends which way the political wind might be blowing. Here are the deep thoughts of this tri-national central banking wizard. Quote, the consumer carbon tax isn't working, it's become too divisive, end quote. A slightly more principled approach would be to suggest that if it isn't working, and is instead offending people, it must have something to do with not accomplishing its general purpose of fixing the weather while making us all wealthier, rather than with failing to accomplish its specific purpose of re-electing your party and slotting you in at the top. Mind you, rather than dividing Canadians, the carbon tax actually seems to have united us so effectively in opposition to it that even the top Liberals are now running against it, except when they're promising to raise it. So, Mr. Carney, do you have any thoughts on what turned the thing we were long patronizingly told was far and away the most sensible, efficient, market-friendly, wise-person-advocated measure into a painful dud? No. Just conceited disdain for the sheep you would lead. As Christopher Nardi wrote in the National Post, quote, Carney, once a staunch defender of the consumer carbon tax, said the consumer tax has worked as planned, but is now hobbled by negative perception among the population. He blamed that on misinformation and lies from Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, end quote. Exactly how much entitled cynicism does it take to explain out loud that you're ditching a better policy for a worse one to corral hicks who cannot be weaned off misinformation and lies, so you'll go that way too? As well as in circles. Quote, a Mark Carney-led government will immediately remove the consumer carbon tax and instead create a system of incentives to reward Canadians for making greener choices, such as purchasing an energy-efficient appliance, electric vehicle, or improved home insulation, end quote. That one is a double insult to our intelligence. First, what the smart set used to say was that what was wrong with Canada's carbon tax was that it had been added to all these other measures, creating a policy hoorah's nest, instead of cleanly replacing them, as Nobel Prize-winning economist William Nordhaus famously recommended. So, now they're cool with doing the wrong thing if it will fool us the right way, not the wrong way. And the second insult is that, in a Fraser Institute paper last year, economist Ross McKittrick calculated that if you had to do it, the carbon tax was most efficient, but now he writes in the Financial Post that actually it's totally unaffordable either way. And columnist Laurie Goldstein added that McKittrick's study points to, quote, 149 government programs to cut emissions, of which the consumer fuel tax is just one, plus onerous new expensive government regulations and massive subsidies to the private sector for building, among other things, new electric vehicle plants and EV battery plants, end quote. So it's not obvious what Carney could add to this mess even if he wanted to, but it certainly won't be frank, intelligent discussion. Instead, we're meant to gape as the great and powerful Carney, quote, will bring Canadians together, lower costs for people, grow our economy, and create jobs today and in the future, end quote. Gad, can flying cars, personal jetpacks, and an Epcot spaceship Earth home filled with hydroponics be far behind? Or a cry of, hey, Rube, since it's exactly what we were promised with existing policy that instead proved mysteriously divisive. And speaking of things we were promised, following the COP29 debacle in Baku, Azerbaijan, Climate Home News seems surprised that, quote, just 10 days to go until the UN deadline for countries to submit stronger climate action plans in a last-ditch attempt to keep global warming somewhere close to 1.5 Celsius, and the signs don't look good. Only 7 such NDCs have been submitted so far, end quote. And oddly, they were rubbish, just like all the past ones. COP29 host Azerbaijan didn't even fake it. Quote, The latest is from New Zealand, and it didn't go down well with climate campaigners, who branded it pathetic. The 2035 target, cooked up by a right-wing government, aims to cut net emissions by 51 to 55% from gross 2025 levels. That compares to an existing 2030 goal of a 50% cut, hardly a heavy lift, end quote. So, boo right-wing governments. But Paris was a while ago now, and almost literally nobody's getting it done or paying any political price for their hypocrisy. So, what made you think it would change? Maybe we're not the rubes. Meanwhile, it's not exactly a cork-popping triumph, but Michael Schellenberger X's out, quote, victory. Shell abandons whale-killing wind project and writes off $1 billion. Another company abandons $250 million plant to make subsea cables that would have wrecked the seafloor. And a wind project in Maine is on the ropes, end quote. Which admittedly is better than the alternative, unless you're so committed to the alleged bounty of wind power that you've gone over to Captain Ahab on the question of those wretched whales. By contrast, the scare story of the week du jour is that, quote, the African continent is cracking fast, warns scientists, end quote. As if people in Africa didn't have enough problems already, or consumers of news media, or people committed to settled science, since, quote, scientists have warned that the African continent is splitting apart at a faster rate than previously thought, end quote. It seems that, quote, a 56-kilometer, 35-mile fissure that appeared in Ethiopia in 2005 has been expanding at a rate of 2.5 centimeters, 1 inch per year, end quote, which means that, quote, researchers initially believed it would take tens of millions of years for the rift to be fully open, quote, but now it's within 1 to 5 million years, a figure as precise as it is scary. Sleep for your life. What is scary is that a couple of years back we warned that, quote, when climate alarmists deny that they're coming for your gas stove, it's time to padlock it in place, end quote. And now, Canary Media emails us that, quote, today we're publishing an in-depth multimedia feature on the nation's effort to eliminate fossil gas from the U.S. food and beverage industry, end quote. And though the story they linked to is mostly about food processing, and the lead example targets the production of oat milk, which is gross anyway, click goes our lock. Then in the newsletter, we return to the Climate Adaptation Center explanation from last week about how warming caused that record Florida snow, because their explanation is paradoxically so feeble that it should be examined at length. They do admit that, quote, this Florida snow event might seem contradictory to the concept of climate warming, end quote, which is apparently what you get when you cross global warming with climate change, but they insist, quote, it aligns with how warming can intensify certain weather extremes, end quote. Quote, climate warming has increased ocean temperatures, which leads to higher evaporation rates. When a cold front or polar air mass moves into a region like Florida, this excess moisture can translate into heavier precipitation, including snow when conditions are cold enough, end quote. And to be blunt, it's that when conditions are cold enough thing that we were having trouble squaring with the warming business. Aha. But Jetstream Arctic Word Salad ending with, quote, the polar vortex essentially came loose, end quote. No, vortex on the loose. So, either warmth equals cold, or the weather has always been unstable, and you're making it up as you go along. But a theory that explains everything post facto explains nothing and makes no testable predictions ahead of time. Still, it does say that climate change is a get-out-of-jail-free card. And according to Euronews, indeed, it's not fair to send people to jail for trying to destroy classic art to save the planet. In that item, supporters from Friends of the Earth said, quote, silencing those striving for a better world will not make these escalating crises disappear. Doing so only serves to stifle our democracy, end quote. Silencing. Not as in forbidding them to speak or you to listen. Silencing as in telling them not to throw super beans at art, which doesn't even really make noise. The Guardian ran a host of items on the same question, and the same protesters that Euronews is campaigning for, including a column by Caroline Lucas headlined, quote, 5 years in prison for nonviolent protest. It's plain wrong and Keir Starmer knows it, end quote. Would that be the same Keir Starmer who put the courts into overdrive to jail Britons for rude tweets about multiculturalism? And speaking of double standards, apparently alarmists don't want to play the blame game on California's fires. Oh, they're happy to when it's climate change, and then they point to the obtuseness of MAGA types. But when it's a conspicuous, potentially seismic failure of progressives to do their jobs while pursuing exotic concerns, move right along. Thus, in mid-January, in Cal Matters, Dan Walters, under the headline, quote, "As LA Fires Rage, Governor Newsom and Mayor Bass are targets in the blame game," end quote, intoned, quote, "The horribly destructive wildfires sweeping through Los Angeles County neighborhoods have become fodder for irresponsible, fact-free finger-pointing, mostly aimed at Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass and Governor Gavin Newsom," end quote. And in the New York Times, David Wallace Wells wrote that, quote, "In the end, President Trump's ominous visit to California's new ghost towns was an anti-climax," end quote, involving, quote, "a rambling news conference that followed just two more beats in the familiar pattern of post-disaster normalization. Partisan finger-pointing, wonks crunching the insurance numbers, the immediate arguments about how to rebuild," end quote. Gee, partisan finger-pointing on climate. Can't have that, can we? No soup for you. Also in the newsletter, with wildfires being such big news lately, and always, because they're always burning somewhere, our next Look It Up installment concerns burned area by continent. As with the LA wildfires, climate change can't be making them worse if they're not getting worse. And with a hat tip to our world in data, using information from the Global Wildfire Information System, the trend in area burned is down, not up, for the past 20 years. The trend for Europe looks like this. And for North America, it looks like this. And yes, on that one, 2023 was a bad one, but it stands out against a downward trend up to that point. And meanwhile, South America, home of the Amazon lungs of the planet rainforest that supposedly burned up permanently in 2019, the data look like this. Yep, wildfires happen every year in lots of places. Some years are worse than others here, some years are better than others there, and the next time someone tries to tell you that climate change is just making them worse and worse everywhere, tell them to look it up. And now, look down. Way down. Because it turns out that they weren't lying about Greenland. Deep under the center of its ice sheet, as in 3 kilometers down, comes proof that that entire island used to be ice-free and covered in plants. We're not talking about the time of Eric the Red 1,000 years ago in that somewhat suspicious marketing campaign. We're talking about way before that, sometime between 250,000 and 1,000,000 years ago in a previous interglacial. And strangely, CO2 in the atmosphere was much lower back then than it is today. Whatever can it all mean? Finally, from the CO2science.org archive, and in honor of the discovery that Salix jiangsuensis, or willow, somehow grew in central Greenland over 250,000 years ago, we note that between 2012 and 2015, there were 5 experiments exposing willow cuttings to an extra 300 parts per million of CO2, and the result was that they grew an extra 26%. So, if ever that ice cap melts again, Eric the Willow will return triumphantly to the green lands of Greenland, bigger and better for all the extra CO2 that we give it. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I know one carny I'll be skipping.